शरण मिलिता तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। पंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे।
हरि बोल प्रभु जी।
मैंने चतुर्थ गुरु को नोट्स कंपनी कंपनी को बोला बताया था हमने बात कर दें पहले दिन का और दूसरे दिन का आप दोनों का बता दें।
हरे कृष्णा। सो Like to welcome you all to the journey of self-discovery day 2. Before we begin today's session, we will just do a quick recap of yesterday's class. Yesterday we were discussing this topic, the search for happiness, and we started the discussion by talking about the common things between humans and animals. We saw there were seed, which stands for sleeping, eating, enjoying and defending. And then we saw the differences between humans and animals are ABCD. A stands for ability for higher inquiry, B stands for bliss, C stands for choice, and D stands for determination to follow the A, B and C. And then we saw that for anyone to experience happiness, one has to overcome problems. We said there are two types of problems, relative problems and real problems. We define the relative problems as one man's food is another man's poison, and we define the real problem as common to all. No one wants it, but no one can avoid it. And then we saw that the seven real problems that we face are birth, old age, disease and death, and Adi Atmik Klesh, which stands for misery is caused by the body and the mind, Adi Bhautik Klesh, misery is caused by other living entities, and Adi Devik Klesh, misery is caused by natural disturbances. So, if we overcome the real problems, we experience what is known as real happiness. And then we saw that the world is offering us three types of solutions to overcome the problems of life, which are known as temporary solutions or symptomatic treatment. So, the three solutions are, first is scientific advancement in sense gratification. Essentially, the world is telling us that why focus on the problem? Just enjoy yourself. There are so many facilities that we have created for you. Just absorb yourself in that and forget the problems that exist. And then we saw the second superficial solution was speculation or mental trick. Under this we saw so many things like positive thinking, self-help books and laughter therapy and so on and so forth. So essentially all these speculative methods, they are very good as far as dealing with the relative problems of life are concerned, but as far as dealing with the real problems of life are concerned, they do not help us. And then finally we saw the third temporary solution is superficial religious rituals. We saw that there are so many religious rituals that are supposed to help us deal with all the problems of life, But essentially, even if we have faith in them, and even if we understand that these religious rituals do work, but they work as far as the temporary or the relative problems are concerned, they don't really help us deal with the real problems of life. And then we saw the story of the millionaire father who had lost his son. And then we saw that the son was not happy by getting facilities, by getting things. He's not happy by getting some inspirational talks. He's not happy by some religious rituals. He is happy only when he connects back to his father. And then we saw, just like this son, he's looking for the connection to his father, which is actually going to promise him the real happiness that he's looking for. Similarly, all of us, we, in order to find the permanent solution to the real problems of life, we need to connect back to our father. And that's when we concluded by saying that we're trying to find the right thing, which is happiness, but in the wrong place. This material world is stamped by Krishna as Dukkhalai. Dukkhalai means a place which is filled with misery. And we're trying to find sukha or happiness over here. So essentially, if this is Dukkhalai, is there a Sukhalai? And we said, if our happiness comes by connecting back to our father, does our father exist? That leads us to today's discussion, day two, which is, does God exist? So when we ponder upon this question, does God exist? Different people have different faiths in the existence or non-existence of God. So I would like to just ask you all, just for my understanding, can tell me honestly, how many of you all here have faith in God, have belief in God? You can put up your hand. And how many of you all here don't have faith in God, that God doesn't exist? Okay, one, very good. Two, how many of you all are doubtful? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, very good. Two, three, wonderful. So essentially, for those who believe in God, for many people who say that, yes, I believe in God, there are four reasons why people tend to believe in God. The first reason is that people need someone or somebody, something, some power that helps to fulfill all their desires. I have this desire, then I go to this person, he'll fulfill it. So therefore, so people believe in God because they feel that God can fulfill our desires. The second reason people tend to believe in God is because there is a fear of the unknown. There are many things that we don't know in life, and because there is a fear of unknown, we need shelter of someone who can promise us protection from that fear. So this is the second reason why those who believe in God tend to believe in God. The third reason, which is a more common reason why people tend to believe in God, is because of peer pressure. Right now, you're sitting in a temple. If I say, I don't believe in God, what will others think, you know? So that may be one of the reasons why many of you have put up your hand, you know. So generally, the society, there is a kind of a pressure which the society puts on you. And because of that pressure, because of that fear of society, we tend to say that we believe in God. And a fourth reason why people believe in God is because of blind following. Everybody is doing it, so must be there only. You know, if so many people are believing in God, naturally God must be there. You know, that's the fourth reason why people believe in God. So there was a man, there was a sadhu who was living in the Himalayas. So one particular village, they wanted to hear from him. So they somehow or other called him to speak. So this man, very reluctantly, he came down, and he, you know, there was an audience of about 1,500 people sitting, and they were waiting to hear him. So he asked a question, just like I asked y'all. How many of you all here believe in God? So everyone put up their hand. So he said, if everyone believes in God, why do I need to speak? He got up and he left. So people were quite upset, and the next day they went and called him. Now when you don't get something, you become even more desperate for it, you know. So they became like really desperate. They wanted to hear him now somehow or the other. So they went and called him again. They said, please, one more time. So he came. And again he asked the same question. How many of you all here believe in God? Nobody put up their hand. So he said, oh my God, I'm sitting in front of 1,500 atheists. I will get converted. So he left again, you know. So these people were like, now desperate to hear him. So they went and called him again. He said, please, last time you come. So he came. And again he asked the same question. How many of you all here believe in God? The people on the left side raised their hand. And the people on the right side didn't raise their hand. So this fellow said that those who believe in God, explain to those who believe, don't believe in God. And he left. Human beings, their belief or non-belief in God is many times situational. In a temple, it is fashionable to say, I believe in God. In a discotheque, it is fashionable to say, I don't believe in God. So where you are, depending on that, your belief system changes. Or what exactly the situation you are in. Just before exams, we find, you know, lot of people come into the temple, you know, small young children especially, they come in uniform, they have darshan and go. Or before results. Somewhere in between, they are not, you don't see them anywhere, you know, during holiday season, you don't find any of them coming, you know. So essentially, during certain situations in life, you tend to take, have faith in God. This is known as circumstantial faith. According to the circumstance that you are put in, your belief systems or your opinions change. When I was studying engineering, I had a friend of mine. This man, young man, he was answering an interview. This fellow was a total atheist. He had no faith in God whatsoever. So, just before the interview, he started running around the campus and asking for a tikka to put on his head. So people were surprised, you know, this fellow is an atheist. Where he started asking for tikka now suddenly. So he said, no, I don't have time, you tell me first. So somehow or the other, somebody gave him a tikka and he put and he went and answered the interview and came back. After the interview got over, somebody asked him, why did you wear the tikka on your head? This fellow said, I saw the interviewer going in and that fellow had a tikka on his head. So I knew, if I also have tikka, good chance I'll get selected, you know. This is known as circumstantial faith. If my having belief in God is going to be of some advantage to me, yes, I'm a believer in God. And if my having belief in God is of no consequence or no advantage to me, then I don't believe in God. According to the circumstance, things change. Opinions change. There was one doctor who was inaugurating his clinic, you know. And to inaugurate his clinic, he organized a Satyanarayan Puja. So many of his friends, they came and asked him, that Are you are organizing Satyanarayan Puja of all people. You have no faith in God at all. Why are you organizing Satyanarayan Puja? This man gave a very practical answer. He said, the Satyanarayan Puja cost me 150 rupees. Nothing much. If God exists, then he is happy with 150 rupees. And if he doesn't exist, I don't have much to lose. Why take chances, you know? So many people, just so that they don't want to take any chances, they do whatever a minimal, you know, level of belief, ritual, whatever with God, that's it. So God is like a accessory in their life. Whenever you need that accessory, you use it. If you don't need it, you put keep it in your bag only. So essentially, most people prioritize things, prioritize beliefs depending on how they value it. One time, there was a king who attacked a village. And, you know, they were going to loot that village. And somehow or the other, just before looting the village, before his people would just go in and ransack the village, the king made an announcement. He said, all the women from this village can go out of the village. We will not touch any of the women. And all of them can go out with one bundle on their head. One bundle of cloth they can carry. That's it. You carry the most valuable thing for you and you leave the village. And then we will loot the village and we'll take whatever you want. The men and, you know, the children, they can't go anywhere. Only the women can go. So he gave a time, next day till 8 o'clock in the morning, everyone has to leave. So the whole army was waiting at 8 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the women to leave. And the women started walking out in line. And each of them on their head, they were carrying a bundle, one single bundle. It was wrapped in a big cloth. And each of them, the kind of bundle they were carrying, it was so huge that their legs were like wobbling and they were like really in pain. The king just couldn't figure out What could somebody take so heavy on the head? You know. So he asked all the women, keep everything down. Open the bundles. And all the women opened the bundle. And inside the bundle, there were the men of that family. So every woman carried the men of their family. You know, the old men, the young men, the children. So this man was, this king was so surprised and so, you know, touched by their priorities that he decided he will not touch the village. He went away from there. So essentially, the reason I was telling this story was that you prioritize what you value. According to what kind of value you give to anything or any person or any belief, according to that you tend to give priorities. So essentially, people's belief systems are influenced by their mindsets. So for those who don't believe in God, there are essentially three reasons why people don't believe in God. The first reason why people don't believe in God is no proof. What is the proof for the existence of God? If there is proof, I'll believe in God. If there is no proof, why should I believe in God? The second reason why people don't believe in God is because we cannot see God. No one has seen God. If somebody sees God, then I'm ready to believe in God. And the third reason why people don't believe in God is because how can we believe in a God who allows so much cruelty to take place? If God actually is there and he is actually a merciful person, then how can he allow so much cruelty, so much violence and so much negativity to take place in this world? So these are the fundamental three reasons because of which people don't believe in God, those who don't believe. Today, we will discuss the first two reasons. What is the proof for the existence of God? And the second reason is, we cannot see God, therefore we don't believe in God. These two reasons we'll discuss today. And the third reason, how can we believe in a God that allows so much cruelty to exist? That we'll discuss on day 5, when we discuss why do bad things happen to good people. Because to be able to explain that, don't worry, this is not an earthquake. This is some people who are dancing in ecstasy on top. This happens once in a while in our temple, you know. It'll stop in few minutes for sure. So you can just focus and then it'll stop. So today we will take up the first two, the proof for the existence of God and why we cannot see God. So I'm going to share with you all four proofs for the existence of God. The first proof is known as creation implies a creator. Let me ask you some questions. Can you name the inventor of the telephone? Graham Bell. Can you name the inventor of the steam engine? Somebody said James Watt. Can you name the inventor of the telescope? Galileo. Can you name the inventor of light bulb? Edison. Now, can you name the inventor of the solar system? One time, Newton, he had a friend who visited him early in the morning. And on the table of Newton in his house, this friend saw a model of the solar system. And this model was a very interesting type of model. It had a knob. If you turn the knob, all the planets would turn in the right orbit, in the way they actually work. So this man was fascinated with that model. And he asked Newton, who made this model and what is the purpose of this model? And Newton gave a very interesting answer. He said, this model, it appeared by chance and this has no purpose. Like that only it has come. This man said, come on, why are you saying that? This is such a perfect model. Somebody would have taken so much effort to make this model. How can you say it came by chance? And Newton said, if the entire solar system of which this is just a model can come by chance, why can't this model come by chance? Many people have this tendency to think that universe is just created by chance. Let us just think for some time. Anything that we know in this world, everything, practically anything that you take up in this world, have you ever found something coming from nothing? Everything, whatever you see, always comes from something. You would never find something coming from nothing. Not possible only. So everything in this world always has some source behind it. Just to get into a little bit of the science understanding, the scientific understanding of creation, there is something known as the Big Bang Theory, which is the concept that science proposes about how creation took place. Let me tell you a story about a construction company known as Big Bang Construction Company. So this construction company works like this. When they have to build a building, what they do is that they take a land and put a dynamite and they blow up that land. And the next day morning when they come, there is a 100-story building ready. Very interesting, right? Have you ever seen after destruction construction happening? A train is going and there are many, many passengers in the train. And a bomb blasts in the train. Each one in their book, in their bags, they're carrying some books. All the books come together and a new novel comes out after the blast. Does it ever happen like that? So after destruction, you don't find construction happening. After an explosion, you don't find construction happening. You always find destruction happening after an explosion. So let us analyze this Big Bang Theory a little more in detail. So essentially what the Big Bang Theory says is that the way in which this universe was created was that at some point in the past there was an infinitesimal point. There was nothing except this infinitesimal point. And within this infinitesimal point there was unlimited mass which was subjected to infinite temperature and infinite pressure. The question now is, where did that point come from? And if something has to blast, like for example, if I keep a box in this room and if inside that box I keep a bomb and the bomb blasts, that box explodes into this room, right? So, whenever there is an explosion, the explosion has to explode into something else. So, when we say that this universe at some point in the past, there was only a point and nothing else, what did it explode into? And the other question is, how can there be infinite temperature at point zero? Like when you start boiling water, it starts with room temperature and then it goes up to 100 degrees with a time gap. So that means for temperature to build up, it needs a certain amount of time to build up. But here the Big Bang Theory talks about how everything originated at a point and before that point there was no time existing practically. So how can everything originate with infinite temperature at point zero? And how can there be infinite mass within a minute point, within an infinitesimal point? So essentially, the Big Bang Theory, if you study it from a logical point of view, there are two problems with this theory. Apart from whatever I told, there are two very practical problems in understanding this. Science is based on axioms. Axioms are unchangeable truths. So if any theory, any concept is a scientific concept, it has to meet with the axioms of science. So if some theory I propose and it doesn't meet the axioms of science, that means it is not scientific theory. Reject it. So that there are two axioms of science. One axiom of science says that any scientific theory has to be physically describable. You have to be able to physically describe the theory. And the second axiom of science is that any scientific theory has to be mathematically verifiable. That means any theory I take in this world, which is a scientific theory, I have to be able to write an equation for it. If I can't write an equation for it, that means it is not a scientific theory. These are not axioms of ISKCON. These are axioms of science. Science works on these axioms. These are two of the five axioms of science. So the Big Bang theory doesn't fulfill both these axioms. From the Big Bang theory point of view, it is explained, the Big Bang theory is physically indescribable and it is mathematically non-verifiable. That means, if something is physically indescribable and mathematically not verifiable, how it is a scientific theory? So essentially, what is science doing? It is replacing the word God by the word point. Spiritualists say everything originates from God. And scientists say everything originates from a point. Now, as much faith as you have to have in the existence of God, that much faith you have to have in the existence of point also. As simple as that. So essentially, whether you choose to believe in a point or whether you choose to believe in a God, both the cases, it works on faith only. And both the cases, in one sense, is scientifically wrong. And it's very interesting, the Big Bang theory keeps changing with time. There is a new addition to the Big Bang theory, which I would like to share with you all now. But to be able to understand this, you'll be able to understand much better on day 5. So the new addition to the Big Bang theory is that everything originates from point, I said. That point is not a static point, it is a dynamic point. This is an addition known as the Kessler theory, which says that this point, which is the origin of everything, it expands and contracts, expands and contracts. This is a new addition to the Big Bang theory. Now, how it expands and contracts, no one knows. But the fact is that it expands and contracts. Please remind me on the day 5, I will show you all a video. This is a scientific video proposed and a person has got a Nobel laureate for proposing this theory. And then I will show you all what spiritual science has to say about the origin of the universe. And you will find how close both of them are, but completely opposite in the belief systems. So essentially, any creation that you see in this world, no creation can take place without a creator or an inventor. So as soon as you say,
Sir or an inventor.
Sir or an inventor? 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 sir or an inventor, 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 Sir or an inventor? 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 Sir or an inventor. 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 sir or an inventor, 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 Sir or an inventor? 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 sir or an inventor, 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 Sir or an inventor? 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 Sir or an inventor?